Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 173 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined across the table by Jacob Alka, decked out in Falcons gear. And they were victorious today on Sunday, October... 14th. It's good to be back, Jacob. How are you?
Great. We finally won a game. That is two wins on the year.
That's great, man.
Yay.
What's the overall record now?
2-4.
That's embarrassing.
I know.
At least...
It's better than
Falcons compensated pretty sloppily, I'd say, for the Georgia Bulldogs, who tragically lost to LSU this weekend.
Yeah, they're trash.
Which I was quite shocked to see. I was not expecting that.
I always know deep down they find ways to lose games when they don't need to.
That's Georgia for you. Yep. No matter what, no matter who's at the helm of that team, there's just something about Georgia that's off. Just slightly. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I didn't watch a whole lot of the game, so I can't really speak much to it, but I just saw that they were behind. Like, yeah. I had it on in the background when I was doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I too only kept up via the ESPN app while I was out of town. But that game shocked me, to say the least. But hey, Falcons won. I don't keep up with them often, but for the sake of Atlanta, for the sake of Georgia sports, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And the Braves lost in the playoffs a couple weeks ago. So
that doesn't surprise
me at all.
All the
more fitting.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I feel like us and Cleveland are just really bad sports cities.
Yeah, this city is cursed to never win championships, ever. Mm-hmm. We'll taste it. Both Georgia and the Falcons have both tasted it. They've graced it. They've had it in their grasp, I would say, at one point, and they blew it. I think they're afraid to be victorious. They're afraid to be champions.
Don't have true leaders.
It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's a real shame, Jacob. But in spite of poor sports performances from Georgia teams, how was your weekend?
It was fine. Not much has really changed since we last spoke. Was it Thursday, right?
Late Thursday night. Yeah, correct.
When we did our Ask IOG, which if you guys for some reason have not checked that out, maybe you only listen on... Apple Podcasts or Google Play, we have another podcast called Ask IOG.
We do.
You should search for it on those platforms and find it and listen to it.
Yeah, it is the show fueled exclusively by questions submitted by the It's Obvious Gaming community.
Yes, and episode
7 aired on Friday morning. It's available to you now on both YouTube, Apple Podcast, and Spotify are the only platforms it's on currently. Mm. So it's out there. Ask IOG. You can find it via the link in the description of the video on YouTube. I guess I should put the Ask IOG links in this description as well. I'll do that. But yeah, it's out there. We encourage you guys to check it out. And if you enjoy the show, you should submit some questions if you never have before and continue fueling that show because that's what keeps it afloat are your community questions. Mm-hmm. And it was a doozy too. It was a fun one. It was good to be back.
It was a good talk. We have sipping on some whiskey.
We should try to do that again next week if you're available.
Yeah,
similar
we'll
time frame, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
So, because I have a blast with those. It was a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I too had a pretty good weekend. Did you already talk about what you did this weekend?
I didn't really do much.
Okay.
In terms of interesting stuff.
Yeah, as I had mentioned on Ask IG, if you guys have heard that episode, I was in Las Vegas for COD Connected covering the Monster Energy Supercross event, specifically for the Monster Energy Supercross 2 video game. It's quite the mouthful of a title. But I attended last year I attended half the media event last year because I had a work obligation I had to get back to. So day one is on Friday. You show up at Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas where the event happens. And there's sort of like a media press briefing. And you get to go hands-on with the game and meet some of the pro riders and the developers of the game. And you get to go down to the track and walk it a bit and watch them all warm up and get used to the track for the event the following day. So that was really cool. And that's all I got to do last year. We did that, and then we went out to eat and like kind of walked up and down the strip and went to a few bars with Square Enix at the time. And I was confused because I thought Square was publishing the sequel, but apparently they're not. But I was still getting updates from Square Enix in regards of like travel and event times and everything. So I was really confused by that, but I came to find out that this game is the sequel is actually self-published by Milestone.
Hmm.
So I was totally confused about that. So I didn't really go out this year. I mean, some of the media folks and PR went out last night, which was Saturday. But I was so eager to edit the video coverage I did for this event that I just stayed in. As lame as that might sound, we stayed at the Palazzo again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very fancy hotel room. Very grateful for, I think it was Milestone's PR that put it all together. And they treat you nicely, that's for sure. But so I just edited video all weekend of the event.
Well, you probably saved yourself work that you could have done this week.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to cram it tonight if I hadn't started on it. But it was cool because the following day is the event I missed last year, which is the actual Supercross event, which I've never been to an actual full-on Supercross event before. I've been to like monster truck rallies and events that have dirt bikes, like X Game-esque type events, but never just a full-on through and through Supercross type ordeal. So
yeah,
that was pretty awesome. I mean, the festival that happened beforehand, there were like trucks doing stunts and some stunt dirt bike riders would come out and do backflips and stuff, kind of like you'd see at typical X Games type events. But the event was awesome. It was definitely a high octane and intense. The races, there were like 8 races, I believe. There was like the little kids, teenage kids, and then like full on adults that were doing the main event. And the races were cool. I got a ton of awesome photos and video that I'm all putting together in like a documentary style. Like I think I'd mentioned to you off camera earlier last week that I wanted to shoot it no clip style. I didn't want to just be generic journalist that gets on camera with the developer. I'm like, hi, I'm here with so-and-so and we're talking about the game. It's just two bozos talking on camera. It's just boring. And so I just shot it as if you're watching like a short 5-minute documentary. And I think it's turning out pretty cool. And a lot of really gnarly footage of the dirt bikes too. I have this one shot where they take off from the starting line and flames go up and the dirt gets thrown back and like hits the lens of the camera. Of course, I was mortified at first when because it just caked it. As soon as the, because I got hit in the eyes too, I was like blinded by the dirt because I was right there in the line on the track. And I turned my camera to see the lens after they took off. And I kid you not, Jacob, there's like a mound of dirt on it. I was like, oh my God. So it goes to like brush it off and it'll wipe the whole thing clean. But it was a cool shot. It was worth
it.
Yeah, it was that same lens too. It was amazing. It survived.
Is it scratched?
No. Amazingly, it did not get scratched, but it was a whole, it was completely covered
by
dirt.
Yeah, it was like a mound of dirt on
I'm lucky it wasn't mud because a lot of the track's mud. But the race was awesome. It was thrilling because the guy who won the entire thing won $1 million and a couple other things, of course. But he, of course, smoked everyone the first two races. So it was like, okay, this guy's clearly going to win. Well, the final race, he goofed at the beginning and fell back to 6th place. And I think there were six to eight laps total in the final race. And he was down nearly the entire race. In the final lap, he came all the way back from 6th place and won the entire championship.
Nice.
It was epic. And I'm not that into motocross, but watching that happen live and like feeling the energy of the crowd was just so cool.
Was the place like sold out or like, I don't know how popular those events
are. It was very full. I could see some empty seats, but it was definitely pretty full. So, but yeah, it was awesome. A lot of cool people. All the PR people I met from various outlets were awesome to hang out with. And yeah, Milestone guys were great too. The game looks and feels fantastic. I mean, of course, to me, just as an outsider, it seems similar to the first one, as if it, I mean, like a typical annual sports game. But all the stuff they talk about in the interview is pretty in-depth. They've made a lot of updates to it that sound pretty cool. So if you're a motocross fan, and if you even remotely enjoyed the first one, if you did play the first one, I imagine you'll be really stoked about the sequel, the stuff they're bringing to it, including like a free-roam compound area. They said they really want to immerse you in the role of being an actual motocross professional instead of just do races and that's it. You can like play online and create tracks and do the very simple campaign in the first one where all you're doing is racing. This, they kind of took like an NBA 2K approach where you can kind of free roam in an area and meet other pros and challenge them to races and customize your appearance and create your own player.
Yeah.
And sort of like a very modern narrative structure added to it to kind of immerse you more in the life of a motocross rider. So
sure.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I'm of course not going to play it, but I'm grateful to have covered it. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, doing stuff like that for COG is a true honor. So I was happy to do that. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah, sounds cool, man.
So yeah, that video will be out as of the same day of this podcast, Monday the 15th, if you're at all interested of witnessing my experiences in Vegas over the weekend.
Hmm. So yeah. Is it going to be a vlog or?
No. It's like, like I mentioned, like a documentary video. It's like six minutes long.
Is it going to be on COG's channel?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I might share it on our Discord if anyone cares, but it's out there on COG if you want to see it. So, but yeah, I'm glad to be back here with you, Jacob. We were just talking, like as we said, a few days ago for Ask IOG. And we got some great community questions at the tail end of this podcast.
Even more?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Some of them, some of the old ones I mentioned from the gold mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Got to clear that out at some point. But I'm happy to be here with you, Jacob. Is there anything else you want to talk about? If we're going to talk about like, what we've been playing. It's actually
not really
reserved what I've been playing, what I've been doing for this episode instead of talking about it on Ask IOG.
Gotcha. No, not really.
Not from you?
Nah.
Okay, so before I talk about games, I saw Venom.
Okay.
And it was very entertaining. Now, I fully recognize that from a filmmaking standpoint, it's not a disaster, but it's pretty bad. But despite all of its issues, I still found it thoroughly entertaining. And I certainly hope the money it's made, both in its first and second weekends, warrants a sequel, because I think there's a lot of potential there. Hopefully they fix the writing in the sequel, because the writing was, not really the writing itself, but I read from multiple sources they cut out close to 40 minutes of the movie, and there's at least half an hour. You can definitely tell where there are cuts to certain parts of the movie where we're like, how did we get here? Now, I can get over those things. I never complain too much about time jumps and stuff, but there is one glaring, I don't want to spoil it for anyone in case you want to see it, but there is one glaring plot hole that absolutely blew my mind how obvious it was. And I saw in an interview shortly after seeing the movie that I think IGN or some other outlet actually asked the director in an interview about this plot hole. And it's so bad that even he openly admitted, he was like, you know, we really messed up there. So there's a lot of stuff like that in it that you can tell was like, yeah, this is definitely rough around the edges. But everything with Eddie Brock and Venom is fantastic. They're just their dialogue back and forth and the way they treat each other and kind of how their relationship, as bad as the pacing is in the movie, the way their relationship develops over the course of the movie, it felt kind of short, if I'm being honest. Like, once he became Venom, it kind of like blew through to the end pretty quickly. But I loved all that stuff. Tom Hardy was great. I hope he gets to reprise his role as Eddie Brock, because I think with whether it was a directing or direction problem or a writing problem, maybe a combination of both, they can work on that a bit. I think the sequel has a lot of potential. So
nice.
Very fun time in the movies, despite its filmmaking issues. I had fun with it.
Were the end scene credits good?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were cool.
I've heard they are.
Yeah. I won't spoil the one at the end, even though I did go into the movie knowing exactly what was going to happen, because I watched every spoiler review. Because
someone told me what happened.
Yeah, I didn't care much about the story at all, but Venom just looks so cool, and I like Tom Hardy, so I wanted to go see it. And Venom looks great on screen, too. He's very cool. So I want more of him.
Nice.
But this isn't necessarily a spoiler, because it doesn't have to do with Venom itself, but they showed about three or four minutes of Into the Spider-Verse. The animated movie coming out in December.
In the theater?
Yeah. I'm so excited for that. That movie looks incredible. So, should cool, be man. Awesome. What I saw was great.
I'm excited for it, too.
Be a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Venom's cool. I've been playing Dying Light Bad Blood.
Oh.
My written impressions will be live soon. I got to do the video version, but I haven't won a match yet, which sucks, but I've still had so much fun playing it. Because, like I mentioned, it reminds me a bit of Hunt Showdown with really gnarly parkour and awesome melee combat. So imagine, now it isn't this in depth, but it gives me the vibe of For Honor, how intense the melee combat can be, because you can counter attacks, you can block, it's stamina based. You can break attacks with this kick melee attack you have in the game. So typical fight, for example, I could be holding like a sickle, for example, and someone else could have like a big hammer.
Sure.
And of course they have different attack speeds, and both of them have different ways of depleting your stamina. So the means in which you attack each person is always varying because of the weapons you're wielding. And plus, you don't know how far they've leveled up, because there's obviously an inherent haste to the game because of the parkour mechanics and running around like super fast. And the only way you gain additional health and stamina is by collecting blood samples.
Yeah.
Now, all the blood samples are guarded by all these groups of zombies, and whether it be very slow, zombies that just kind of like can't move very quickly, that those are typically small blood vials. And there's different piles. Like, there's the really big piles that'll give you a huge chunk, level up faster, but they're guarded by the big guys and a bunch of faster zombies, whereas the small piles are guarded by the idiot zombies.
Okay.
So there's some of them cool too that are like a death trap where it looks like there's no one guarding it, and you go up to it and all of a sudden this like bell goes off and all these like blazing fast parkour zombies will come after you.
That's cool.
So each encounter with the blood vials was cool, but on top of that, the added layer of intensity is you never know where the enemy players are. Someone could be stalking you while you're getting your blood vials and come up and kill you instantly.
Yeah.
So you always have to be on edge with not only the zombies, but the 11 other players that are against you. There's only 12 players that spawn on the map. So just the different ways of approaching each encounter is so cool. Like, whether I'm stealthing on someone or almost like trailing them to their next blood pile they're going to try to attack. Like, I've tailed someone for a good 5 minutes before they get to where they're going, and then I plan my attack. And it's cool, too, how easy it is to upgrade your weapons, because you get all these upgrades, like a shock upgrade, for example, electrocutes and slows people. There's a frost upgrade that slows people. There's like a blood upgrade that makes people bleed faster. Kind of like in Hunt Showdown, if you get shot by certain weapons, you'll start bleeding. You have to stop it and bandage yourself.
Yeah.
So I like how, unlike other Battle Royale modes, for example, like in PUBG, if you pick up attachments for your gun, you have to go into your menu, pick them up, throw them onto your gun. Now, Call of Duty is another good example where you pick up a weapon and then you pick up an attachment. It automatically goes onto your gun. And then
you can
and then you can manually swap out that attachment if you want later. But I like how in Bad Blood, you have a menu to your right of your weapons and then to your left and your like throwables or your throwables on the left. So all your weapons are on the right. And then on the left are all your throwables and upgrades. It's as simple as just pressing like X, for example, to cycle through your upgrades, X and Z. And you get to what you want. You just hold down. I think it's all muscle memory for this point. I can't like remember exactly what the controls are. Very intuitive, very simple. Though you hold down one button or the one click of your mouse, and it instantly upgrades your weapon. So you don't have to go to into a menu and then drag it over and apply it to something.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. It's in terms of Dying Light's mobility and moment to moment gameplay, it works perfectly because you're obviously constantly on the move, moving very quickly, and then upgrading your weapons just as quickly is just very satisfying. So I just love getting in these fights because sometimes melee fights can last over a minute long if you both are really good at countering attacks and dodging. It's also a dodge ability too, to dodge back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just awesome to win a fight. It's always so satisfying because every battle is intense and interrupting fights too. If two guys are fighting and you just jump in and throw a grenade and like interrupt the fight or something, that's cool.
Yeah.
But
so there's no like guns.
There are guns, yeah. They're very few and far between. That's what's interesting. You have to really search high and low, and they're typically guarded by really high level zombies.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Funnily enough, that's typically what I die to is a firearm towards the end of every match because I just haven't found one yet. Now, I have found the bow and arrow often, and that's very effective with certain upgrades against varying zombies and, of course, other players. One of my favorite things to do is have like a shock upgraded arrow when there's like a group of zombies and maybe a player or two, and you shoot that arrow into one of them and it shocks everyone around them and they all get damaged and slowed, and you just run in and just slice them up.
Yeah.
So that's cool. A lot of cool ways to approach combat. It's intense. And I love the ending too, because whoever collects, I think it's 1,000 blood samples first, triggers the escape helicopter.
Mm.
And only one player can escape. Now, what's interesting is, let's say you only have 500 blood samples. You're kind of leveled up halfway. But the guy who's about to escape has everything you need. So everyone converges on the attack helicopter, and whoever's left alive fights it out. And if you kill someone, you can pick up whatever blood samples they had. So if you haven't collected anything in 20 minutes and you go to the escape helicopter, you're probably going to get your ass kicked because everyone has more health and stamina than you. But if you miraculously kill someone, you can pick up all their blood samples and collect them all until you have enough to escape.
So what's the advantage of being the one to summon the escape helicopter?
I think
it just sounds like everyone's going to be gunning for you.
I think if no one kills you, you can just get out of there and everyone loses. I think that's how it works.
So you can only leave if you have enough blood?
Enough blood samples, yeah. You have to collect, I think, 1,000 to trigger it, and that's when you can escape. Because you can't escape unless you have 1,000. Otherwise, you're just stuck there. So if you don't kill the guy, he escapes and everyone loses.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, everyone converges there and dukes it out towards the end for the final showdown.
What if no one escapes?
What if no one escapes?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always someone that's going to be that lives, and you can collect all the other
blood
samples.
There's no, like, time limit or anything?
I don't think so. Not that I remember. So there might be a time limit. I can't remember all the tiny little minute details like that, but all the gameplay, about how I described, is awesome.
Hmm.
So I recommend it. I've been trying it. I think it costs money, actually, like Hunt Showdown. I don't know how much it cost, but it's worth trying for sure. If you like Dying Light's gameplay, it's really cool multiplayer. And if you like Battle Royale, it's kind of, like I said, a Hunt Showdown-esque type Battle Royale in Dying Light. So
yeah, that's cool.
And we have another one of those bugs in here, dude.
Yeah.
I think we have an infestation, because I know that one was harassing us the other night. And then I found more of them in my kitchen that same night. We have a problem.
Yeah.
We need to deal with that.
That's a freak house.
There's probably a nest of them in this house somewhere. That's kind of disgusting.
That's disgusting.
That's gross. I'm sorry, Jacob. I don't blame you for not wanting to come over here. That's all for me, though. That's all I really played. Am I going to play anything tonight? I'd love to play some Call of Duty if I can. I have to finish editing this motocross video. I got to edit the podcast, and maybe by some miracle you and I can play for a bit tonight. Maybe you got anything going on? You already go on your date?
Yeah.
Last night?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was good.
Nice.
So, dude, I had really good lasagna.
Where'd you go?
This place called Coletta.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that at the Avalon.
I did. Yes.
Do you approve?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
You should go. It's a little expensive, but it's really fucking good, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah. One of the best Italian dishes I've had.
Cool.
So,
you guys a
5 stars?
You guys a thing yet? You guys official?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Still feeling out the
no rush of course.
Feeling
I'm
the
just,
waters.
Just
you know?
Curious.
Yeah,
I get that.
For sure. Seeing if it's the right match.
I totally understand. That's crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to commit to anything that you're not too sure about.
Sure.
You got to be all in.
Yeah.
So that's great, Jake. I'm glad to hear, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have going on. If you want to just jump into the podcast, how's that sound?
I mean, I could talk about Call of Duty a little bit.
Oh, Blackout?
I played a little bit.
Yeah, like
the
full release version of Blackout. How'd you feel about it?
Well, I've played every mode except zombies. I haven't touched zombies. I don't really care about zombies. I would try it if, you know, I had a group of people to play with.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the idea of just jumping into zombies. It doesn't really... No horde mode has really ever intrigued me, so that's just my thing with that. Multiplayer, it feels pretty good, honestly. I've kind of dismissed myself in terms of the gameplay and the style of Call of Duty over recent years just because it hasn't really intrigued me that much. This one, it does a little more so. I don't know how long I'll really be playing it, honestly, just because it is still Call of Duty multiplayer. And with that comes with, you know, all the gripes and complaints that everyone always has about the multiplayer. It's, I mean, it is more boots on the ground, just like World War II was, which is good. And it's like with the Black Ops, you know, feel and style on top of that, it makes for a pretty good experience. And I know a lot of people besides me are really enjoying it. So good on them for, you know, I think pretty much nailing that experience so far. I probably played about 15 matches of that and it's been pretty fun. I've mostly played TDM, Kill Confirmed, and Domination.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, a lot of positive buzz with Black Ops over the weekend. People are loving Blackout. I mean, people are loving it before
it's even
launched.
Good review scores.
I'm glad to see the positivity surrounding Call of Duty. Not that it's ever bothered me that there hasn't been positivity surrounding Call of Duty, but it's typically a lot of negative Nancys out there just hating on it.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason. And of course, there's still people that I don't blame anyone for disliking anything. Like, that's totally fine. But I really do think Black Ops 4 is excellent, even being just a multiplayer only game. And fun fact, I was going to save for the news if we had talked about this later, but there was a press release today actually stating that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 set a new launch day record as the biggest day one digital release in Activision history.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, digital sales for the first day of release broke the franchise record set in 2017 by Call of Duty World War II. Release Friday, Black Ops 4 also set a new PlayStation record for day one digital full game sales on PlayStation Store globally. The title also quickly became the best-selling Activision Xbox One digital game on day one globally. The first Call of Duty release ever on Blizzard's Battle.net, the PC version of Black Ops 4, also delivered a new franchise high in which launch day PC digital sales more than doubled year on year.
It's because of Battle.net that they're breaking this record, for sure.
Yeah.
Says, even without that, they might have.
Yeah, it says, lastly, in its first day of availability, the total number of people who connected online to play Black Ops 4 increased from last year's release. So that's impressive. Good for them, man.
They're doing good things.
Yeah, and yeah, it really is a testament to Blackout's popularity for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I've never been a diehard Battle Royale fan, but I've always enjoyed a lot of PUBG. Like I said, I've never really gotten into Fortnite, but PUBG specifically, and of course stuff like Hunt Showdown and more recently with Bad Blood, but Call of Duty is I think Preston said, it's like the final form of PUBG.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect...
It's a more polished PUBG.
It's the perfect version of PUBG. I saw the funniest meme/video edit that IGN put out about Blackout coming out. I'll have to show it to you later. It's hilarious.
Okay. But yeah, Blackout itself, it's a lot of fun, dude. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to play it. I was eager to play it all weekend. It's funny, I was talking to some of the press people when we were at the motocross event. As much fun as we were having, we were all talking about how we wish we were playing Blackout.
Yeah.
Because everyone was talking about it all weekend. So
I will say that my experience is a little hampered because my computer is in need of upgrades. And I'm running graphical settings on medium just to make sure I can run enough frames to be competitive.
For sure.
But I'm still really freaking enjoying the game. I haven't won yet. I've had 4 top fives. It's had a heartbreaker when I got two.
I forgot that you got kicked the time me and Preston won on PC.
Yeah, I've never won a game.
Yeah, maybe we team up again. We'll make it happen.
Maybe. But yeah, I've pretty much done solos exclusively. I haven't done any duos or squads. But I had this heartbreaker where I was in the top two, and the circle was at its final stage where it was closing down, and there was nowhere else to run. So you have to kill the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in this building. I forgot what the location is. It's the part of the map that has the really big, long rectangular buildings next to each other. I forget what it's called. It's not the array. I think it's really close to the the hydro plant. It's I think it might be northwest of that, but anyway.
I don't know the map too well yet.
Yeah, I don't either. I only know a few places really well. But yeah, I was in this one of these long buildings, and there was a guy outside towards the other edge of the circle, hiding behind one of those big trucks and two little sheds. So I was kind of forced to because of how the placement was worked. I had to like leave my building because I was going to get, you know, cut off. And so I walked out, snuck around the truck, and there was a guy waiting there with a shotgun. He was blasting me one shot. And I had no armor at that point because I had killed, you know, I had other confrontations up to that point and couldn't find any more armor. Mm-hmm. And it was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it is, Jacob. But let's turn things around this evening. How about that?
Yeah, if we have time. I'll at least be on for a couple hours. So.
Okay. That's plenty of time.
Before 10. So.
Cool. Is tomorrow Monday?
It is.
I've got so much shit going on tomorrow, dude. It depresses me terribly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's life, you know.
But maybe we should get on to the news so that you can go do those things.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
This is the It's Obvious podcast, like I mentioned before. It is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more services, including right here on YouTube where the video version exists. If you've never seen our faces and care to scream in horror at the sight of them, you okay over there, Jacob? Wrong tube?
Yes.
Didn't you cough like that on Ask IOG, or was it Preston who was coughing?
That was Preston last podcast.
And you guys, it's that side of the table, man. Something choking you up over there.
Yeah, just drink Wong. Drink Wong.
I drink Wong. Anyway, video versions are here on YouTube. We encourage you guys to come over and subscribe and comment below. Like the video if you're willing to give us a little boost on YouTube, because YouTube is our home base where all of our additional content exists, including the video version of Ask IOG, like we mentioned earlier, including Let's Plays, occasional unboxings, impressions pieces. It's hard to do additional content these days because I'm doing a lot for COG, whereas I'd normally do impression pieces for us. I do it for COG because I get codes. So it would be in bad taste, I think, to do both. But whenever there comes something where I'm not playing for free that I purchase on my own, you can count on content. I'm going to do that Spider-Man video soon when they finally update it. They are taking forever for New Game Plus. Yeah, but I know they're putting a lot into it, but they've said it's coming right around the time of the DLC, which is in about a week, I believe.
I don't think it's that important.
I think it is, dude. I am dying to play that game again.
Dude, now, that's coming out next week.
I know. That's the thing. I'm not going to play it because of that initially, but I will definitely be playing it again following my completion of Red Dead.
You could play Persona 5, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather play Spider-Man first.
Okay.
Because I love that game. Plus, it's not nearly as demanding of my time as Persona is. I could play for 10 hours and move an inch in Persona where I could basically beat Spider-Man in that time. So, but
fair point.
That's coming soon. I'm excited about it. But I'm going to do like that, like I said, that cinematic web swinging video for our channel. It'd be cool. Stuff like that you can count on in this podcast. I'm going on a tangent here. I'm very impressively bad at the intro of this podcast. And I'm too lazy to memorize it like Preston did. I'm thankful he does it every week when he's here. All that being said, Jacob, you want to jump into the news?
Yes.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting?
Yeah, for the thing Preston does.
Oh, hey man, what's the news?
Yeah, there we go. We can at least get that right. Matty G is going to bring us in with a very relevant question that I'm excited to address.
Okay.
It has to do with Fallout 76.
Okay.
Matty says, apologies if this was asked already, but did the early previews of Fallout 76 change your mind about the game at all? I wasn't too hyped on it, and the previews didn't really change my mind, but I would love to know what you guys think. Keep on filtering out that air. Oh, Matty, we will... It hasn't come on yet, but we're anticipating
it. It will.
Yeah, it will. No doubt. Maddie, I, of course, same with Preston, where the both of us are very excited for Fallout 76. We've always been intrigued by the idea and entertained the idea of a, at the very least, co-op Fallout experience. But now that we have a fully online world at all times with, how many players again? Like 20-something? I can't remember.
I have no idea, dude.
Can't remember, but...
I know nothing, turns out.
To keep it simple, yeah, we're both still very excited, and even following the preview event where it ran very poorly, frame rate stuttered to no end, gameplay looks iffy at best, I am still stoked out of my mind because...
24 players.
24, there we go. I'm still very excited because, warts and all, I think it looks just so charming and fun. I love the intro where you go through Vault 76 and kind of get introduced to who you are and what you're doing and customizing your character. Even though I've seen all of that now, I'm still so excited to play it myself. And according to every single media outlet that covered the preview event, they have all stated that Bethesda said repeatedly that the build they were playing, which this is very bizarre to me. I don't know why the hell they wouldn't have this ready for the preview event. I almost feel like they were covering their asses when they say this. But they said The build you're playing is not going to be what the beta's like. This is just warming up to the beta. The beta will be smoother. I'm thinking, if you're going to have these people talk about your game and not necessarily promote it, obviously, but cover it and give it and tell the world how it is, why would you not have it running as smoothly as the supposed beta is going to run at the media event, which is less than a week before the beta begins?
Yeah, that is
weird. Is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really, really... I mean, again,
must have been a time thing.
I don't know how this all works. They may have not had a choice, but that seems really dumb, if you ask me, because now people who are already doubting the game are doubting it even more because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even when media outlets say, oh, Bethesda says it's going to be cleaner in the beta, I think that may have killed it for some people, and they may be completely uninterested now. Now, for me, like I said, if it ran at 10 frames a second, I'd still be excited because I'm excited about the idea.
Oh,
I'm not saying
say that.
No, I'm not saying I would think that's acceptable when the game's out. I'm saying at the preview event, if it ran poorly and they're stating that it's going to run better in the beta and, of course, at launch after the stress test, then I'm totally on board still. I mean, remember, dude, you're talking to someone who played Hunt Showdown at 15 to 24 frames a second for 2 months straight.
There you go.
So if a game's fun, man, I'm gonna suffer through the bugs until it's polished.
Mm-hmm.
So... I love the way it looks. I think it looks like a ton of fun. Of course, the building stuff, the emotes, the instruments you can find and play.
You can find instruments. That's cool.
Yeah, you can pick them up and all play like an actual band, kind of like Sea of Thieves style. Yeah. Like if you play instruments together, it'll all play the same song. So, and then teaming up with players, of course, the PvP aspects you can turn off and manage at any time if you don't want to fight anyone. I don't. Maybe I'll understand their reasoning when we actually play it, but the fact that you can see all the players where they are on the map at every time completely defeats the survival aspect to me. Why would I always want to know where these people are? I'd rather it be a surprise.
If you want to go kill them.
And interactions feel like are a little more organic that way if you're not knowing where they are at all times. Like, let's say you're searching a warehouse for some gear and you see there are players on your map coming towards your area. It's like, oh, we better prepare. It'd be so much more exciting if you're looting an area and dealing with, say, some feral ghouls, and all of a sudden these guys bust in behind you and start firing at you. It'd be so much more interesting than seeing where they are. Maybe they'll change that. I don't know. But again, I'll keep it brief, but I think even in spite of how poorly it ran, I'm still very excited to jump in and try it on PC on the 29th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was listening to one guy talk from Game Informer podcast, and he was complaining a lot about just the world. Like, it feels like Fallout 4, basically, the world. But it just feels... like, I know this is kind of what Fallout's supposed to be, but it feels very lonely.
Like, I like that.
There's just nothing going on.
Well, that's the thing. That's what Fallout...
And there's no one to interact with. Like, it's just dead.
No, that the only thing that slightly concerns me is that there are no human NPCs or ghouls or what have you that will give you quests and stuff. It's always robots.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting choice.
I think that's kind of lame.
I think it's an interesting choice. I mean, I get where they're coming from when they say, you are all the NPCs. You all make up these things. You can be a merchant if you want. You can start a guild of some sort if you want, which I love that idea. But at the same time, I get why that aspect alone would seem kind of lonely. But I've also heard from other outlets, including COG, for example, said that it isn't, they didn't totally dislike it. So, I mean, it really is going to come down to a player by player.
I honestly just response. Don't think it's my game. Nothing that I've heard excites me about it, honestly. I'm not picking it up.
No, I get that. So. You didn't even like Fallout 4 that much.
No, I did not.
Yeah, me and Preston are huge fans. So.
Sorry to be that guy, but I can't get excited about it.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. You could say it's the worst thing you've ever seen, and I'd be fine with it. But
it's the worst. No.
Yeah, I'm very excited to try it.
I hope
else
you enjoy
I was
it.
It's pretty cool. I can't remember what it was, but I love the kind of the folklore surrounding West Virginia too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my uncle actually texted me about because he was born in West Virginia, and he's like, dude, I heard this game about West Virginia Fallout.
Yeah,
tell me more about it. And I was like, yeah, it's this thing coming out. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be a bunch of monuments from West Virginia.
You know, I'm also intrigued is because Oxhorn, who does a lot of lore videos for Bethesda games and especially Fallout, did a lore piece for 76. And there does seem to be a good bit of lore in there in spite of the lack of NPCs.
Yeah, I heard most of the lore is told through like audio logs and like things you pick up.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I guess, but... I think that could be kind of concerning if, like, you're playing with other people and you're trying to, like, you're constantly getting audio logs while you're playing. I feel like that'd be kind of annoying, but
maybe I don't
mean,
know
if you play solo, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I don't know how it all works, but I don't want it to feel overcrowded either, but there are, I think there's community events that'll pop up, which I think are cool, and people converge in a certain area and duke it out with, say, super mutants and each other.
Yeah.
For some cool gear, maybe.
I'm really interested to see, like, what's going to be the point to keep playing? Like, what's like, the end game?
No, I know nukes are a part of it, but even if you blow off a nuke,
what's the point, though, yeah, you know?
I have no idea.
I mean, it'd be cool. Like, I saw footage of one going off, and it looks awesome.
But there is a narrative. They said it's like a 50-hour narrative or something. They're like a main quest line to do throughout the game. Now, they all have to do
from
with
robots?
Those nukes, but I don't think it's straightforward, because, you know, the overseer's like, you need to find the nuke codes at the beginning of the game. I'm sure there's way more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see. Yeah. I'm excited to try it. So that's how I feel, Maddie.
Sick.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear anyone else's thoughts, whether you're on my side of the fence or Jacob's or maybe in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Cool stuff, man. I'm excited. PlayStation name changes are officially coming, Jacob.
It's finally happening.
Yeah. Beta is beginning towards the end of this year, and if all goes smoothly, it'll go into a full release type situation early next year.
Are you going to change your name?
Yeah, I will. Mm-hmm. Nice. I don't know why I did Alistair Shaffer.
I don't know if I even will.
We were all changing or did stupid names for the sake of stupid names, like John Poobah, Alistair Shaft. I still miss when you were Richard Dringle. Are you still Richard Dringle on Xbox? Or did you change it to Lost in the Echo there too?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I'll change it to something maybe a little more personal, like Nighthawk 264.
There you go.
That's cool. A little more me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll do a different name like Harold Bucksworth or Donald Doohickey.
Or you could be Garrett.
Silv.
Garrett.
I'm going to be Silv, dude.
Silv is the coolest name in the history of the world. Don't even at me. But you should be Garrett from the game Thief, game of the year 69.
I'll just be tag. Garrett from Thief PS4.
Yeah.
That's who I'll be.
No one has that. Guarantee it. Because you're the only one.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, I might do that. I'm going to change it. I don't know what I'll change it to yet. Now, it could be totally disastrous. I don't know if it'll work out as soon as we think it will.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how it's a good deal, too. I think the first one's free. The first change is free. And then after that, it's $5,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing. You could change your name 20 times.
Yeah. It's cheaper than it is for, like, oh, wow. They charge you, like, 15.
Yeah, so that's
greedy bastards.
That is a sweet deal. Hope it goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know down below if you're going to change your name on PSN, if you are, what your ideas are. Maybe
throw
some ideas our way if you guys think any good names for Jacob and I to change our PSN names to.
There you go.
That's cool, though. It's finally happening.
Yeah, this is
everyone's
really
been
good
talking
news.
About it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because everyone has this feature on everything.
Yeah.
PlayStation's very late to the party, but at long last, it's happening.
I feel like they had to go through a lot of hurdles to make it happen, so I'm thankful they did.
It definitely sounds like it.
Because like there was like some caveat where like some older games like it's going to be like a problem to have a new name or something.
Yeah,
because your name's tied to.
Yeah,
like
I think it's
something.
like games after April of this year or something. I can't remember the details. I don't really care that much, but yeah, there's some kind of shtick to it like that. But I couldn't care less. It's all good. Speaking of PlayStation, Jacob, the next-gen PlayStation has officially been addressed. It is happening. Of course, everyone knows it's happening, but Sony finally said, like, yes, we are in the middle of developing a next-generation console. Now, this information comes specifically from our old friend Joe Scrubbles from IGN.
Oh.
He says, quote, they won't call it PlayStation 5 right now, but Sony has finally confirmed that, yes, it has another console on the way. Speaking to the Financial Times, Sony CEO... I swear these names, dude. I was never meant to pronounce any names other than generic American names.
Give it a shot.
It is Kenichiro Yoshida said, quote, at this point, what I can say is that it's necessary to have a next generation hardware. Yoshida wouldn't commit to a name or explain what form that hardware would take. It's not an enormous surprise that Sony would have begun development on a new console. This is so structured, so weird the way he talks. Not least because multiple games have already been announced for the next-gen consoles. However, Sony openly admitting that it is working on hardware has led some to conclude that a formal announcement could be closer than expected. The FT reports that its sources have said that the upcoming console might not be represent a major departure from the PS4 and that the fundamental architecture would be similar. Well, that info bums me out a bit. I don't see the point of making a next-gen console if you aren't going to beef the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of these incremental iterations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have PS4 for another 10 years until it like not blows the roof off the next console.
Sure.
I mean, of course, I'm addicted to new hardware, so I'll buy it anyway.
Or they could just abandon the hardware and, you know, just make an app on a computer. Just put their games there. Just do that. So.
Yeah, I highly doubt it considering just how well these consoles sell.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah, that's never happen. In an ideal
that would
world.
That would be convenient, for yeah. sure. So, by the way, I was going to say my butchering of that article made me question why I ever even attempt to read anything on this podcast. Oh. Now, it's not helping. I haven't slept in about 2.5 days, it feels like. But it's not an excuse. I apologize.
You know, maybe but you'll get it on the next one.
At the very least, though, new PlayStation hardware excites me. I don't really know what to think about it because the Pro is obviously inferior to the Xbox One X now. I don't really get hung up on specs that much on console. Now, PC, it matters to me more than ever because that's predominantly where I'm playing multi-platform games. Obviously, I'll play all the exclusives on PlayStation, but I at the very least hope it is a significant upgrade to the PlayStation 4 Pro and not just a little baby step. That'd be so dumb. Don't even call it next-gen hardware if it's going to be a little baby step.
Yeah.
We will see. No one knows the truth, but the rumors have been addressed. Next-gen hardware is quote-unquote in development from Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And only time will tell. Maybe we'll see an announcement at E3 next year, maybe the following year. Maybe a year from now with the next PlayStation experience, perhaps. I don't know. But if they could have as an impactful reveal as they did with the PlayStation 4, I think the future is bright for Sony. I mean, it already is bright because the exclusives are incredible. Thriving community. Record sale. Well, I wouldn't say, I don't know if there's record sales, but incredible sales for this generation of PlayStation hardware. So I think going forward, they have a lot of momentum. Hopefully they can maintain that momentum, not only keeping a positive community, but also just great exclusives.
Sure.
And well, just a killer well console. Let's hopefully the console's killer.
Yeah, I want to read this. It's the caveat that we were talking about with the name change. I want to make sure it's clear. So this paragraph of the article, it's a GameSpot article by, let me get the author really quick.
Let me guess, Eddie Mackick.
Where is the name?
It's up at the top.
What the hell? No, it's not.
let me see.
Oh, Patrick Faller.
I was off. It's usually Eddie.
Another caveat is that the new feature won't be compatible with all games. It will be compatible with PS4 games released after April 2018.
Yeah.
April 1st, 2018.
Okay. I knew it was something that simple, but...
Yeah. And the majority of the most played PS4 games released before this date, PlayStation is making clear that not all PS4, PS3, and PS Vita games are guaranteed to support this feature, so users might see issues or errors in certain games. If you run into any issues with the change, PlayStation will let you revert back to your old ID free of charge. So, I don't know if they're going to let you change back again to get your new name back after that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know like how that's going to work.
I'm of the situation where I couldn't care less about my progress in games that I played before April of 2018, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's whatever to me.
Yeah.
So.
Same.
Because once I played them, I've played them. It's all good. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it's different for like games that you, like multiplayer games or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I get
maybe.
That. I think for you and I specifically, I've moved on to PC for anything sure. that's not an exclusive, and most sure. PlayStation exclusives are single player focused, and I've had my fill of most of them.
Yeah.
So.
You haven't like left a save on my PS4 that I want to return back to
right.
in like a year.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see where that would bother certain people, but for me, it's all good.
Yeah. If you have concerns or you want to voice your opinion on this topic, let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. Again, I'd love to hear your name ideas for not only yourselves but Jacob and I. Yeah. So I'm definitely changing mine. I just don't know what I'm going to change it to yet. So
I'll probably change mine, maybe. I don't know.
Lost in the Echo. Richard Drangle or Jacob Angus Stanky Rangus has always been my favorite.
That is the worst name ever. Why
if
would
I were
I
you, I would
that?
Have named myself that forever ago.
Why would I put that as my name?
It's just amazing.
Is it?
It's so
like, what's
funny.
So great about it?
Jacob Angus Stanky Rangus.
It's like I'm going to make my name steak and something stinky.
It could be Jacob's Breasts.
Oh, that would...
How about that?
Everyone would get that.
I think so.
All my enemies that I slay
yeah.
on
well,
the battlefield.
You were slayed by Jacob's breasts. They slay me, Jacob, in a sexual way.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, we'll brainstorm a bit. We'll circle back next week on any name ideas we've come up with.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to put any effort towards that.
I will.
Okay.
Exciting news for me, Jacob. This comes from Joe Donnelly, a PC gamer. Hunt Showdown's Lawson Delta map is coming in the near future. I think it's going to be revealed very soon at TwitchCon, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
TwitchCon's coming up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Set in post-Civil War Louisiana, developer Crytek says more. The new arena will be revealed at this month's TwitchCon, where it'll also be playable for the first time. The dev also says the map will go live shortly after the event, which runs from October 26th to 28th in San Jose, California.
Exciting.
I am stoked, bro.
Nice, dude.
Going live shortly after the event, they'll reveal it there. I'm excited to see what it's all about. Now, it's interesting because I think the map that they already have is excellent. And, I mean, they've added a ton of weapons. They've optimized the game. It's running very smoothly for most people. If you have powerful hardware, it runs very smoothly. They've also optimized it now to where you have many more options than you originally did for lower spec PCs. So I think everyone to an extent can run the game pretty smoothly regardless of specs. If you have relatively modern specs on a PC, you can pretty much run the game now.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of great weapon updates, refinements to gunplay and just moving around the map and blah, 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 blah. So I'm interested to see if this new map will not only be obviously a new map, but what the layout will be like, if there'll be any new...
Is it going to be still swampy? Like, is that still...
I don't know. It's still in Louisiana. I don't know if it'll be in the bayou still. But I'm interested to see if there are any new monsters and any new bosses as well.
Sure,
I think if you're
going to
debut a new map, you should debut a new boss with it. That gave me especially
like
stoked.
Maybe like every map has unique bosses. Yeah. That'd be cool.
But what's exciting is that I know the current map so well, like the back of my hand, that now traversing it is exciting because I know it so well. And you always know where gunfire is coming from. You can quickly search stuff out.
Yeah.
But with this, I like going into it. No one knows what anything is yet.
Yeah.
And always exploring a new map, like even in PUBG, for example, in the... Was it Miramar? The desert map came out. Mm-hmm. No one really knew how to get around it yet. And it's always...
There's always that learning period.
Gameplay is always kind of interesting the first week or two of when a new map launches.
Yeah, so. I can kind of relate to that because I've been playing Blackout this last weekend.
Yeah.
And I've been, like, to kind of get more familiar with the game, I'm trying to, like, land at, like, the same couple spots every time. So, mm-hmm. like, at least in those spots, I'll know, like, where I can usually find guns.
Definitely.
So I can, you know, get the gun and then kill everyone around me, you know, as fast as possible to kind of... progressing the game farther.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's a good strategy to kind of like say like I get really good at learning firing range, so now I want to move on to like I don't know Nuketown Island,
yeah.
whatever, and just kind of work my way
around.
A
good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll try it too.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to copy you.
Oh.
Yeah, Hunt Showdown, man. I'm a diehard and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. If you love Hunt, that's
sick.
That's awesome.
Dude, yeah. Microsoft is reportedly acquiring Obsidian Entertainment. This
Rumor.
Is pretty gnarly news.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is confirmed over the weekend. I didn't see if it was. But it comes from the industry's greatest detective, Jason. That is the hardest name that rolls off the tongue. Jason Schreier.
Yeah.
From
you got to say it slow.
Yeah, doesn't roll off the tongue too nicely.
Mm. But he's a good man. He's a beautiful man. And he's a smart man.
Excellent investigative journalist too.
Yeah, and that.
He says, quote, Microsoft is finalizing a deal to acquire the independent development studio Obsidian Entertainment, according to three people briefed on the negotiations. We don't know if ink is on paper yet, and plenty of major acquisition deals have fallen apart in the final hours, but those close to the companies believe it is all but done. Excuse me. One person with knowledge of the deal told Kotaku they'd heard it was 90% finished, said a second person, it's a matter of when, not if. Quote, unfortunately, if we don't comment, or this is from Obsidian themselves. Unfortunately, we don't comment on rumors or speculation other than to say that the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac still holds up, said an Obsidian spokesperson. Now, to clarify, Obsidian did develop Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas, and both Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2. I think Pillars of Eternity 2 is still in development, if I'm not mistaken. But Pillars of Eternity is the game that Jason actually covers in his book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, about Obsidian and its indie development process. Because Obsidian's still an indie studio, so if they're acquired by Microsoft, they will officially be a first-party Microsoft studio. Now, this is the fun thing I thought about. What if Playground Games is not developing the new Fable? Now, I know they're reportedly developing a new open-world RPG. What if they put Obsidian on Fable?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about their experience with RPGs, man. Holy crap, I think they would be the prime candidates to develop the next Fable.
Maybe.
Part of me almost wishes that's exactly what's happening, and then maybe Playground's doing something else.
Yeah, another car game.
Yeah. A ancient car game?
Or maybe, back in the old days.
Yeah, we're going to do the what was that first car called? The Ford Motor Car or something?
I don't know.
It's a specific name, but maybe it'll be the first cars ever made.
You work in the factory of the very first car.
Sounds so cool, dude.
Yeah.
Sick.
You get to experience what labor used to be like. working long 18-hour shifts.
Sounds thrilling. I hope it's very simulation-like, too. I hope it's as realistic, because they thrive in simulation. I hope it's as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
Make your 2 cents a day and spend it on maybe a banana or a popsicle after work.
Yeah.
So.
Go home and feed the family and go back the
read
next
the newspaper.
Day.
Oh, yeah. Listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah. Have your coffee.
Oh, what a life. That's the thing. They didn't know any better. They probably had the time of their lives sometimes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of walking.
Where are the video games?
Yeah, for real.
I think about that if I got trapped in a time period before my own.
Better have my Switch, you know?
Yeah, better brought that Switch and that time travel with you.
Oh, yeah.
Be doomed without it.
That's when I would play my Switch.
If you had to be trapped in any decade of the last 100 years, let's say 20th century, in between the 20th century and the 21st century, what decade would you want to be stuck in? I think I'd go with the 80s. Because I think the 80s were the happiest the nation has ever been.
Would I go back to, like, I'm me now? Like, I don't go back in time?
Yeah, you now. You get stuck in a decade of the 20th century for the rest of your life.
So it's just, okay. So me, like, how I am now.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably the 80s.
Yeah. Because I think the 80s are just revered so highly by just so many people.
I mean, it's after the war. You wouldn't want to be there for the war, obviously.
No. That's the thing, because I think it was in between like Vietnam and when stuff started picking up in the Middle East and everything. Yeah. So I think it's been always when the United States as a whole was just happiest.
Yeah.
There's rock and roll.
See, we're in this period now, but we're not as happy.
Correct. I mean, the nation's divided in many ways. It was when everyone was just kind of, I mean, there's always been division in every nation, but I feel like overall, it was the happiest the nation has ever been, and I'd like to experience that.
Yeah.
So if I had to be stuck, going with the 80s. Video games in the 80s, very few and far between. But
the baby boom generation.
Yeah, you know, a lot of great music. I think I'm just mostly on board for the music and the movies, too. Imagine seeing a lot of those movies in theaters in the 80s.
Yeah, I definitely would have seen, like, all those bands perform, like, live back in the day. Like, AC/DC, that would have been so cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure those shows were quite the experience.
Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's way too many to name.
Yeah, there's countless. Anyway, yeah, I'd go for the 80s. Anyway, Obsidian, I hope they're developing Fable. That'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you, dude.
That'd be so sick, man. Speaking of medieval RPGs, the Witcher TV show on Netflix has cast Ciri and Yennefer officially, and I have their pictures to show you, Jacob.
I've seen them.
I'll read this little blurb, and then we'll kind of talk about it. So, this comes from James Whitbrook of Gizmodo. Quote, "Now we know who's just behind two crucial figures in the Witcher television series. Netflix has confirmed the actors who will bring Ciri and Yennefer to life in its new fantasy epic. Unveiled through a new interview with the Hollywood Reporter showrunner Lauren Schmidt, Hishrich said Freya Allen, Into the Badlands, and Anya Kalotra from Wonderlust will join Henry Cavill's Geralt of Rivia as Ciri and Yennefer of Vinterberg, respectively." Here they are. If you guys haven't seen them online, you can Google it really quickly and look them up. But this is why it was something I thought was weird. Now, Ciri, sure, that girl looks like she could be a young Ciri.
Fine.
And this girl looks like she could be Yennefer, sure. But you know what's weird?
What?
As the girl who's playing Yennefer, does she not look like she's 15 years old?
Yeah. I think they're supposed to look younger.
But that's what's weird is that Geralt and Yennefer have a very provocative relationship. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's 14.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Henry Cavill clearly looks like he's in his mid-30s at the very least.
Do you know how old she is?
I didn't look it up. Yeah. She may just have one of those young faces. That's going to throw me off if they're real raunchy in this show and she looks like she's 15.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know.
I don't know, but of course.
I think she looks great.
Yeah, they look like they can play the parts, totally. And I know looks aren't everything. It really comes down to if you can play the character and portray the character properly. Right. But, I mean, looks are definitely a part of it, for sure.
Well, I mean, you need to look like
because this is how everyone recognizes them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I have no problem with who they cast, really.
Yeah,
I
think that's cool. But I'm glad to see things are moving along for the show because I really want this to come as soon as possible. I'm very excited to see what it's going to be.
I'm not really sure, like, with any of their previous work. I haven't ever seen them in anything. So.
Right.
All I'm going off of is if they look close to the parts, and yeah, they do.
So I tossed that into the news in a weird spot. I wish I had put that toward the end because we have more Xbox news to discuss.
But also, I mean, makeup and costume can do a lot to make someone look different.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, again, these are just literal headshots of these actresses.
True.
So
yeah,
I'm sure it can come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I am pumped to see it.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be cool. This comes from Isaac Monteros of COD Connected. This has to do with Xbox new xCloud project. Project xCloud. This is pretty gnarly. It says, quote, a new Xbox streaming service called Project xCloud was officially announced on Monday. The upcoming service aims to allow its users to stream Xbox games on any device of their choosing, according to Microsoft. They say today the games you play are very much dictated by the device you're using, said Kareem Chowdhury. How would you say that? Chowdhury?
Where's that?
Right there. Kareem Chowdhury.
Chowdhury.
Chowdhury. That sounds about right. A Microsoft executive in an official announcement, Project xCloud's state-of-the-art global game streaming technology will offer you the freedom to play on the device you want without being locked on a particular device, empowering you, the gamers, to be at the center of your gaming experience. According to Chowdhury, current and future Xbox games will be compatible with Project xCloud with no additional work required on the part of the game developers. For those who don't want to play with an Xbox One controller or keyboard, side note, I think you're insane if you don't want to play with either of those things. The service will have an optional touch input controls with a new game-specific touch input overlay. Hmm. Project xCloud will be supported by data centers that are located in 54 Azure regions and service 140 countries. Also, the streaming service will work on both 4G and 5G data networks.
Hmm.
That is a pretty spectacular idea. Very ambitious.
It just harkens back to that whole idea that multiple people in the industry think that streaming is the future of the space. And it might be. It might very well be. Those people are much smarter than I am.
Yeah, so. But Xbox definitely seems to be at the forefront of that at the moment.
Yeah, this is a big project. And I'm excited to see, kind of where it goes to in the next couple months and years.
I would like to play Red Dead on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Not really, but
so what would you use?
That's something you could say.
Yeah, what would you use, like the touchpads, or would you like kind of sync a controller if you could?
I have.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
If I'm being honest, I have no desire. I mean, I'll play anything on Switch.
But what if it like looked pretty decent? Like somehow it just ran well. Like, would you use a controller?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I've never wanted to play anything not on keyboard or controller. Like I've never enjoyed touch controls with where a game demands more than that.
Let me tell you about Hogwarts Mystery. So it's this great game.
Oh, really?
No, I actually stopped playing it.
You finally,
should be
it's a miracle.
Proud of me. Yeah.
Yeah. At least
it's still on my phone, but I haven't touched it in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy.
I'm proud of you.
I feel
that,
like
Jacob.
A better man because of it.
I'm sure I bet you feel a little liberated.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a little more self-respect now.
I do. Yeah.
That's good. Glad to hear
I've
it.
Been much more happy too. So.
That's good.
It's really bringing me
What
down.
Are you going to blow your steam off on now? Blackout, I guess.
Blackout. No, cool. Let's get pissed again.
Yeah. I'm so looking forward to playing that with you, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So, more Xbox. This has to do with Gears 5.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to read it, but I'm just going to keep it brief because it's a long article. Okay. But it comes from Mario Brash of COD Connected. Rod Ferguson, studio head of the Coalition, states that they're going to make changes to the gameplay and storytelling experience in Gears 5. Now, from what they revealed at E3, it doesn't look that way yet. But they claim that Gears 4 was almost a testing of the waters for the Coalition, as they had acquired Gears from Epic Games, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rod Ferguson was involved with the original trilogy, and he became the studio head of the Coalition, where they exclusively developed Gears of War. So the studio as a whole was pretty brand new to the franchise, that they played it safe, and it definitely felt that way when I played through the campaign. That's why the campaign is pretty forgettable in my mind. And even gameplay-wise, it didn't blow my mind at all. It just felt like good old-fashioned Gears. Now, Gears gameplay is super solid. I wouldn't even say it feels dated. It just doesn't feel fresh anymore. It's just been there, done that many times now, including, what was that spinoff title called? Gears Judgment Day. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
Okay. Or Gears of War Judgment, whatever it was called.
I think it was just Judgment.
So four games of Gears, or five now with Gears 4, I was over it at that point. It was kind of a struggle for me to get through the campaign. I took longer to get through it than I probably would have had it been new.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of weird with Gears because, like, there's a big fan base of Gears, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, and they like the way that it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like the franchise also needs, like, something to be, reinventive to make it more exciting towards the mass media.
I'm hoping the success of God of War is a huge inspiration for every studio that's developing their fourth or fifth game in a franchise. And I'm hoping the Coalition, I don't know if it's directly inspired by the success of God of War, maybe that could be a part of it, but obviously Gears 5 has been in development for many years now, so I would assume that was probably an organic decision to begin with. But I'm hoping people see what God of War did with the reboot, and I hope they have the courage to apply that to their own franchises, because I think Gears is, obviously everyone knows this, is in desperate need of not really a reboot, but definitely some fresh gameplay mechanics. And
I think they should pull a Call of Duty. I think they should make it a VR. Honestly, dude, I think Gears could be cool as a VR.
It could. If that's the thing. You know what's funny is that I hope, you know what would make a big difference?
Mm-hmm.
That is so simple, is just make the shotgun a power weapon that you have to pick up.
Yeah.
That shotgun is so effing... Now, I know I get that hardcore Gears fans would be furious if they did. They'd be absolutely furious.
Mm-hmm.
And to an extent, I get that, because it gets what Gears has been since the beginning, just a shotgun fest online. And it's always bummed me out, because the core concept has always been a cover-based third-person shooter, and the campaign, it thrives that way. And the closest they ever got was Gears 3, because they increased the damage output of the Lancer, the main assault rifle. So Preston and I had a field day with the Lancer in Gears of War 3's multiplayer. And if they could make it, because Gears 4, again, it's a shotgun fest. Now, I don't totally hate that, because that can be fun for about 5 minutes for me.
Yeah.
And I've had some success engaging in the shotgun fest, but I've always wanted it to, the multiplayer experience, to be as solid as the campaign, where you have to take cover and shoot at each other. And it just makes it far more interesting to me, and actually figure out how to flank your enemies online. That just makes it so much more exciting.
Yeah.
So I think that change alone could change the core gameplay, the moment-to-moment gameplay experience, radically if they did that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something they've discussed in the past, but whether they do that or not is still yet to be determined.
I don't know if that's like one of those changes that brings more people in, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm not saying it would bring more people in. I'm just saying I think it would make
it would help you enjoy the game more.
Yeah, but it would also, like I said, radically change gameplay. That simple thing literally changes everything, because you can't just rush people anymore.
Yeah.
So I hope that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't be, but I hope it is. And I don't know what else to think, because, again, I'm not a game developer. I don't have any ideas for Gears, but I'm glad that that's what they're saying in these interviews. So I hope what they're stating is cool.
Yeah.
I hope whatever they're changing is good.
Yeah. I've never been into Gears. I don't know why. Just the whole big hulking guys with the chainsaw. Just never
intrigued me. It's too masculine for you, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's not enough...
too much testosterone, dude.
Yeah, dude. It's like, come on. Ease up, man.
I've always been I was a big fan of the original trilogy, of course. It was actually Gears 1 that made me beg my parents for a 360 back in the day. So I'd have never been a Xbox gamer had it not been for Gears. That first trailer, man, Mad World, hooked me. So I've always had great trailers. Even Gears 4 had good trailers. With the
they do have good trailer. I did like Gears 4 trailer. Gears 4's trailer.
The Sound of Silence cover by Disturbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. So hopefully Gears 5 is another killer trailer.
I think it was also Halo that had a good one. Was it that year or the year before? I don't know. Did they come out the same year?
Halo 5 had a really great marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And the campaign fell flat.
The game campaign, yeah.
Holy crap, it fell flat. What was it?
Feels like that game came out so long.
It's so dumb. I've forgotten how it even played out. I was just so annoyed. I kind of remember now, but it was so stupid. Man, it was bad. And the trailers were so cool.
Yeah, it was the whole Chief versus Locke.
Yeah, that could have been amazing, but they effing blew it.
Yeah, that was over really quick, wasn't it?
It was, man. Hopefully they address that in Infinite, whatever they're doing. Anyway, Red Dead Redemption 2 is in our immediate future, Jacob. We're all losing our minds, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm excited.
All these little tweets have everyone pooping and peeing their pants. Mm-hmm. And the latest has to do with the weapon upgrades, which it's so brief. Ooh. I thought it was so cool to talk about.
Sure.
Rockstar tweeted, weapon choice and customization in Red Dead Redemption. From visual upgrades like new metals, woods, varnishes, and engravings to performance upgrades like new barrels, grips, sights, and scopes, design an entirely unique weapon that looks and handles exactly the way you want.
Oh, baby.
That is so badass.
Give me all the stuff.
I am so excited for that. Look how cool this outfit looks, too, that he's wearing.
That's cool. I like his bandana. And his silencer. Is that a silencer? No, it's not. That's revolver.
I think if they're going to be authentic, as authentic as they're making this game out to be, I highly doubt there will be suppressors on any guns, unless there were suppressors at this time period, and I'm totally unaware of that.
Just threw me off.
Yeah, but regardless, that tweet sounds awesome. And now there was a headline that took off for a day, and then it was sort of addressed by other people who have played the game that it was a little misunderstood. Originally, it said that if you turn off the in-game compass, players will give you more direction on where to go, which I think is pretty cool. Similar to what they're doing in... what game we were literally just playing where they do that?
Is it Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed. Yeah, exploration mode. You have to really pay attention to what people say. You can ask them in conversation, give me some hints about where I can find this person or this thing.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you.
That's what they do in WoW questing, but it's like text-based.
Yeah. But according to media people that kind of clarified this. They said, whether you have the compass on or not, people will give you the same amount of directions. So if you want to have that more immersive experience, if you have the time to invest, I certainly don't, unfortunately.
It's a little hardcore for me.
Yeah. I love that idea, though. I love that that's an option. Or if I'm going to turn off my compass, I have to pay attention to exactly what you're saying to me. And as if I was really out here, I have to go find what they're describing. So I think that's cool.
I feel like you need it. Like, your character would have a compass, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like he would never know how to get anywhere. Unless you just knew how to get around
that's
the area.
That's true. I just think like icons in the mini map that would reveal
certain
things.
Yeah, I know what
things.
You mean. I'm just like thinking realistically, like that guy has to have a compass.
Yeah.
So. Unless he just knows everything in the map.
That's awesome, though. I'm so excited. We are so close. I cannot believe
so
how close we are. I
is
can
it,
taste it.
When is it?
26th.
So we'll have one more podcast, right?
I think.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
One more podcast. It's exciting.
That's going to be a big one when we talk about that. 26 yes. might be like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
2 Fridays from now.
Okay. Holy crap.
I know.
Anyway, why don't you...
Everything else is going to like stop in life. I'm just going to be playing Red Dead.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you guys hear me blowing out my nose. My nose is so stuffed that I'm actually horrified.
You shouldn't like pour that water down your nose.
I actually used my sinus wash or my like nasal neti pot thing earlier.
That's disgusting.
It didn't change anything. I kid you not, Jacob, my nose is reverted back to what it was before. I'm going to have that surgery again.
It's a good investment you made.
Awful investment. Mm-hmm. And that's as funny. In my gut, I knew it was a waste of time.
So you're going to do it again?
I've heard people, Jacob, until it gets right, you have to do it like, the worst I've heard is 5 times.
Oh my God.
At best, 2 to 3. So I'm probably going to have it again.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's a shame.
Man.
But now that I've had it once, I'm not that worried about it. It's whatever. Because before I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to operate on my face. But nowadays it's whatever. But yeah, I can't breathe at all through my nose. It's awful. And it isn't like an allergy thing. It's a physical thing. My nose is physically closed inside.
I wonder if you like talk different.
Because my deviated septum.
Yeah. What if you like speak different when you come out next time?
I might. Voice might change
sounds
again.
Sounds cleaner. I don't know.
I definitely.
I mean, your voice sounds great, obviously. Everyone always tells you
your
voice.
My nose
is great.
Just has so much pressure in it, dude. I feel like I've been punched. It's awful.
Yeah. Do you have like headaches all the time? Because
no, it's just I can't breathe. It's
just
awful.
Nose, okay.
I'm a mouth breather. I'm a literal mouth breather.
That sucks.
It's awful.
Yeah. I try to breathe through my nose because, like, the proper way to breathe is breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth.
Right, right.
So I try to do that as often as I can. Like, when I'm just at my house, I'll just breathe through my in and out my nose. And I guess I kind of take that for granted.
Yeah, it's truly. Terrible.
The only time I'm like a heavy mouth breather is when I'm like, you know, I'm heaving or I'm at the gym
bad
or something.
Like a bad cold or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I kind of take that for granted, I guess.
Anyway, Jacob, you want to move into some community questions?
Yeah, dude, let's do it.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to supply this podcast and Ask IOG with your community questions. They are always a doozy, always a good time. We never know what to expect, and we have a nice... mix and match of random questions and video game related questions this episode, Jacob.
Nice.
Pulling from some of our old archives of questions we've garnered over the last 2 years nearly, which is crazy to think about. So we appreciate you guys sending them our way. Again, we're going to try to do Ask IOG again this week. I think it'd be awesome if we could.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just want to throw that Ask IOG episode 7 is out there and available if you haven't heard it yet.
Please listen and give us some feedback, please.
Yeah, and you can hear questions just like these ones we're about to read.
And ask more questions. That's another place you can ask questions.
Absolutely. Now, if you want your questions read on the show or Ask IOG, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section on our Discord channel. Now, always include the hashtag #AskIOG if you want your question read on the show so that we don't accidentally read your community questions or your private messages on air. That would be awful. All that out of the way, Jacob, let's answer Fribe's question first.
Yes, please.
Fribe says, what does Jacob collect?
What do I collect? Oh, he asked this on Discord. I've collected, I mean, quite a few things throughout my whole life. Right now, not really much of anything, honestly. I don't really collect anything. I started a collection of the Overwatch pop figurines, but I only bought the first wave. I think I'm behind 2 waves now, and I do want to get them because I do really love Overwatch, and I think it would be a cool collection because I have a shelf that's big enough to put every single one, at least up until this point, on there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it'd be cool to see them all because there's so many different unique heroes, and it's a game that I cherish a lot. But Besides that, like, honestly, that's the only thing, like, recently that I really collect. I mean, I guess I was collecting PS4 games for a while. I always bought physical cases because I wanted to build a collection of, you know, a lot of games that I could just, you know, show off. And but as I've transitioned to PC, obviously, I'm completely digital now. So
certainly,
even like I used to buy like physical editions of WoW because I liked the boxes they came in, and they are really cool. But I even stopped doing that. I've just kind of stopped caring. I'm just more interested in other stuff right now. What about you, man? I know this isn't addressed to you.
Yeah, I collect nothing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
You do always have some cool figurines around.
I do, but they're always few and far between because they're either given to me or they come.
They're just rare.
Yeah, like Little Nightmares just came with that figure.
Cade 6.
I can't remember how I got. I think I got that little Mario Rabbids thing from E3.
Yeah, I think you did.
The Cade I got from pre-ordering Destiny 2, I think.
Yeah, he's dead now. Yeah. Fuck him.
So I don't have too many figurines. Like Preston has a pretty cool collection in his place. Yeah,
he collects a few things.
Yeah, he collects collector's editions. Yeah. Any game he's interested in, he gets the collector's edition. I know he's getting the collector's edition of Fallout 76.
What comes with that again?
The helmet, I think. The power armor helmet.
That's right. That is cool. Can you put it on?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty awesome. I didn't pre-order it because it was $200. And at the time, yikes. I was a little broke. Maybe if I had money in my bank account at the time, I would have been like, oh, yeah, sure.
I don't think you need
but,
that.
But I was pretty broke at the time. So regardless, I'm super stoked for the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Destiny 2 for their Halloween event, they're making like printouts. You could print out masks and you can make a mask and wear it.
Oh,
so how about that?
Cool, dude.
That just proves that Destiny 2 is a better game.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Sadiq says, I think it's Sadiq, Sadig, maybe. Have you guys tested any drugs? And if yes, what drugs have you tried?
Have we tested any drugs? You mean like unprescribed drugs or like stuff we've gotten for anything?
It could be anything.
I mean, not really.
I think the gnarliest drug I've ever been on was...
I've had oxycodone for my wisdom teeth.
Yeah, I've had that.
I've been on some pain meds for other stuff, but I don't remember exactly what they were.
Yeah, I've been on that. I've been on hydrocodone.
Yeah, you've probably been on more stuff than I have.
Whatever pills I took from my nose surgery were brutal, man. Talk about getting high. Holy crap. Can't remember what they were called.
I mean, I don't really do illegal things.
Yeah, I haven't tried any illegal drugs, and I have no interest in doing so. For some reason, I've never been attracted to drugs whatsoever. Same with alcohol. Like, I drink alcohol, but I just... socially, typically. Yeah,
drugs are a dangerous game, man. Yeah, be careful.
I like cigars. Cigars. Man, I haven't had a cigar in so long. I'd love to share a cigar with you. Is your fire pit done?
Yes, we finished it. I should have said this earlier. We finished it. I didn't help, but my parents finished it this weekend, and it looks freaking cool, dude.
Dude.
There's no wood in it. Like, they still have to, like, they have, like, the round circular shape. Like, it's made out of stone, and they've, like, bought this device, and it looks really cool. But, they still got to, like, clean the inside, I think, and put some kind of, like, sealant in there so it doesn't damage the patio that it's on. But then they just got to put wood in and, you know, get it ready, and it should be good to go this winter.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Double date. You, me, your date.
My last.
Say for now, yeah. And Casey, we'll go eat somewhere, and then maybe we'll just come back to your fire pit and chill under the night sky in the fall weather and maybe... make some s'mores or smoke some cigars. I'm looking for an excuse to smoke some cigars.
Or both.
Yeah, or both.
Sounds like
is it too much to ask for both?
No, that sounds like a great idea.
I think it'd be a fun double date.
I might just hang out there every night.
Good conversation. In case, you know, we'll talk to anyone for 4 hours, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
She'll talk to your new lass for a while.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
We should do it.
Let's see what happens, dude.
Definitely. Yeah, Sadig, I've not tried any illegal drugs. I don't know if you can consider a cigar a drug.
No.
So that's all I've tried.
I mean, is nicotine a drug?
I haven't even tried.
I guess nicotine's a drug.
Nicotine's technically a drug, yeah. Or I don't know. See, I don't know. I don't even know anything about drugs. So I'm not an answer
properly.
I think
what he's getting at, no, you haven't.
No, I'm not. I haven't even tried a cigarette. So I like the smell
of cigarettes. You haven't tried a cigarette?
No, I like the smell, though. They smell like rock and roll to me.
They smell terrible.
I think they smell great. No, I don't like the smell after. While they're burning, I like the smell. But afterwards, they smell terrible.
Yeah, I don't like them anyway. Yeah.
So,
although I've never finished a cigarette. Like, when I've been drunk, I've had, like, people have given me cigarettes and I've taken them.
Yeah.
But I've never just, like, I want a cigarette.
Yeah. It's interesting in Vegas how in all the, I think all of them, all the casinos, you can just smoke inside. Mm-hmm. And people just smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking. I should have had a cigar there. It's a shame. I really haven't taken advantage of that city both times I've been there. Yeah. I went out the first year I went, and it was pretty cool, but I really haven't explored it in its entirety. I hear you can go to Vegas 10 times and not see everything.
Wait. We got a friend that's having his bachelor party in Vegas early next year. So.
Carlos?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm invited to his wedding. Have you gotten an invite yet?
I think you are, yeah. No, I haven't gotten an invite. He's still, it's very early on.
I hope I'm invited for the sake of the bachelor party at least.
Yeah. You should be.
Because I will definitely attend.
Yeah.
I will make time for that.
Yeah.
Because I've always wanted our group of friends to go somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do it for Zach's bachelor party. So I feel like Carlos would be acceptable.
Yeah. I'm excited.
It'd be good.
Yeah, Evan's his best man, so.
Oh, really?
That's where Evan wants to go, so that's where we're going.
Nice. I know he wanted to do that with Zach really bad, so that's cool.
I'm excited to see what he cooks up.
That'll be a fun time. Phil writes in, Sadiq, thank you for your question, by the way.
My dad used to smoke, and he quit, like, probably 15 years ago at this point, but it was actually probably longer than that. But, it like, I saw firsthand, like, what smoking did to my family, and I don't want to do that for myself or just anyone that's potentially in my life later on. Smoking's a dangerous game.
It is. Now, if that's your thing, totally cool. But I give Casey a hard time every time she smokes.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't do it. You're literally killing yourself.
Yeah, she was an avid smoker when I first started dating her. Mm-hmm. It was almost a deal breaker. I didn't tell her she had to stop. She knew I didn't like it. I would never be like, you have to stop that or I'm not going to date you anymore. I would never be like that. But she stopped on her own over time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not like addicted to nicotine or, you know. So it's easy for me just to sit on a high pedestal and preach out that you shouldn't do it. But I don't know. You got to make the decision to not do it. Like there's always ways to combat it.
Like playing video games. That's
exactly.
My drug.
Exactly. Just play games all the time.
You play any or try any drugs, man? Yeah, they're called video games. They really can be a drug for some people.
You can take them outside and have a video game break instead of a smoke break. It's easy.
Agreed.
That's what they should have instead of smoke breaks. For works, they should just have little game breaks.
You could
get some Mario Kart breaks in.
You could arguably play video games on your break anywhere.
You could, but I guess the whole idea of taking a break is to have a cigarette. I don't know.
That or just chill.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I do when I'm on break. I just hang out and get on my phone.
Same. Phil writes in and says, you wake up tomorrow and you're the only person on Earth. What do you do? In detail.
Man, you're putting me on the spot. So I walk out of the house that I live in right now, and everyone's gone. Mm-hmm. Probably first things first, that's a good question. So presuming that it's morning, I'm going to drive all the way down to Atlanta, heart of Atlanta. I'm going to go to Krispy Kreme. I'm going to figure out
how to make them.
How to produce more donuts, and I'm going to eat some.
You know,
of
there's a Krispy Kreme in Roswell if you want to save the trip.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm going to Atlanta anyway because everything's happening down there. So my first stop is there.
Well, everyone's gone now, so nothing's happening there.
Right. Well, exactly. But the most opportunity for fun, I think, is right there
in the city.
And
what kind of fun are we talking about here?
Just like I was going to say money, but what good would money do?
You don't need money anymore. You can literally do anything. That's why it's a hard question.
Well, I would look for some nice cars, and I would probably
drive some nice
break
cars.
Into them and drive them around.
Okay.
And I'd probably pick a nice car, and I would, what would I do next? I don't know what I'd do. Like, what would you do? What do you do when there's no one around? Like, you presume that the internet's not working because no one's around to...
Yeah.
What
would be the point? Like, it's not going to, like, it's going to be updated.
Yeah. I mean, it would eventually cut off because it wouldn't be maintained.
Here's what I would do. I would beat Persona 5 first.
If you have
I would start with that.
Are you going to have enough time to beat it before the electricity goes out?
Well, let's say
for everyone,
let's say the electricity and power just remains functioning forever.
Okay.
That's convenient. I would beat Persona 5 first. I'd probably go through all my backlog because I'm uninterrupted. I can do anything. I would watch pretty much every movie ever made. I would exhaust all of that stuff, which would last me probably years.
Yeah.
I would exhaust all of that.
I mean, one thing I would do is I would go to places that I couldn't otherwise. I'd probably drive up to the White House, honestly.
Just drive? Yeah, I would drive.
I wouldn't fly.
I would drive forever, dude. I would go all over the place. I'd plan the ultimate U.S. excursion where you see all 50 states. It's almost like you're weaving the entire United States to see everything. Yeah, I would do that for sure.
If that was, like, something I could do, like, you never know if like gas is going to be working.
Yeah, I would travel the world. I would see every inch of the world because nothing's stopping you from traveling at all times. How would you get to these places? I guess you row your boat across the Atlantic.
You got to learn how to fly.
Face the seven seas.
If you knew how to fly, the world is your oyster, basically.
Yeah, fly a plane and or operate a large boat, perhaps a yacht. Mm-hmm.
No one would ever want to be in a world on their own, I don't think. Like, that's terrifying.
I think for a while it would be, I don't know what the right word would be, but like the desolation.
Liberating?
Yeah, like the desolation would be almost.
This stupid fly,
I'm sorry, it's
why is he just flying around me?
Yeah. I feel like the loneliness to an extent would be kind of a cool feeling. Like seeing whenever I travel alone, it's a pretty, especially when I go somewhere I've never been before, it's a very weird, cool feeling.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be pretty awesome. Now, after a while, you'd probably go crazy being by yourself. But
oh, yeah.
I think for a while, it could be cool just seeing the empty world all in its lonesome. Now, I feel like a lot of what the charm of the world is seeing varying cultures and communities that inhabit these different parts of the world that make it what it is. But when it's just buildings and architecture and landscapes, I mean, of course, that stuff in and of itself is beautiful to behold, too. But I feel like the people are a big part of it.
So
the loneliness would be very depressing after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what I would do. I would exhaust my backlog.
Let's assume that pets are around, though. Like, that would make it better.
You have some animal companions.
Some pups around.
It could be like Ace Ventura Pet Detective and just have like an army of animals.
Just have like
pets.
A farm of animals, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That's what I would probably do. I'd probably settle down and like take care of animals.
Where would you settle
down? Grow some food. Just a rural space where I could grow things well. Never be threatened by like natural disasters. Mm-hmm. You know, something, have good soil. I'd probably try to learn how to do that stuff.
Some manure? You're going to need a lot of manure from cattle.
But who am I kidding? I wouldn't know how to do any of that shit.
Yeah.
I'd probably
You'd
like
have to
look
read
it
some
up,
books.
Right. Yeah.
And let's say the internet miraculously still stays online. It never updates, but everything that's on the internet is there.
Just a wealth of information.
Yeah, that'd be solid.
I think I could figure out, like, if my life was on the line, I could learn how to do anything for the most part.
Yeah, that fight or flight or survival instinct that's embedded into all of humanity.
Yeah.
All living creatures have a survival instinct, so got to figure it out at some point.
Mm-hmm. That was a good question.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
I don't think I gave it any justice, but I tried.
I think we did. It was pretty good. Thank you, Phil. That was a fun one. Cheeky writes in and says, this is more of a question for Jacob. Any tips to stay motivated for the gym?
That's a good question. You got to set goals. Right. You don't set like huge goals. You start with like little goals. Like, you know, I'm going to start going to the gym for 1 week and I'm going to see if I can do it. You know, like maybe reward yourself if you can do that. That's how I started too when I was younger. I just kind of like, I envisioned kind of like other people that I wanted to look like. And I kind of just strive to want to be that. And I eventually saw, like, once you see results coming in, like it almost just like, it takes away all of like your, or at least for me, it took away all my doubt for like not wanting to work out because I saw results actually happening and it kind of just kept me motivated to keep going back to the gym. And like at this point, it's kind of just like it's part of my life now. Like I can't see myself not working out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, goals are a thing, something to motivate you to go to the gym. I mean, it's mostly goals, right? If you want to see gains at the gym, you got to have a good diet. Like you can't just work out and expect to see results, obviously. Like, especially if you're a little overweight or something, like, you need to make sure you're doing both diet and exercise, or you can't just do one or the other. Like, if you just have a good diet, you're just going to become, you know, just shriveled, right?
But no one wants to be shriveled.
Exactly.
You'll end up like me.
So what was his wording of the question? I'm going to try
tips,
and give other
tips
examples.
To stay motivated.
Just to stay motivated.
Good tunes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, music. I try to always like update my. I have like a little square iPod shuffle, so I don't use my phone at the gym because that would be distracting. But yeah, always make sure you have good music. I always like to put on like new albums that I haven't listened to yet, and I'll just kind of listen to the whole album while I work out, and it's just a good way to fit in some more music that I wouldn't have otherwise been exposed to.
When I was working out consistently at the gym, I would occasionally listen to podcasts while I was doing it. Inevitably laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a psychopath just laughing while like doing squats or something.
Yeah. It's also a good way to knock out some podcasts too.
It is.
I always do that when I drive, but sometimes I do it when I work out too. Other things you can do to motivate you. This is tough. It's a little tougher than I thought it'd be. I mean, that's what it mainly is. It's about setting goals, and you know, if you have the willingness and, you know, I was going to say audacity, but that doesn't make sense. The adversity to overcome them.
Are the
and whatever goals you set for yourself, are, it's going to be kind of determined by what you think you can do.
It takes courage to overcome any doubts or lack of motivation you have. Mm-hmm. It takes courage and just willpower, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, again, obviously I don't work out consistently, but I have been motivated in the past, and similar to what you said, just setting goals for yourself, I can definitely attest to. So yeah, it's a good indeed.
That's all I got.
But we mentioned tunes. I'm gonna come back to Josh Scriber's question here in a minute. But Panda Man Games asks, what music do you guys listen to? Why do you like it? I'll answer quick. I predominantly listen to rock and metal, mostly metal and hardcore. Favorite band's The Ghost Inside. I've said that many times in this podcast, purely due to the music's great, obviously, but lyrically they have impacted me greatly. Mm. So Ghost Inside's my favorite band. A lot of hardcore music. It just vibes with me quite well in any moment of any day, for the most part. Pop punk to an extent. It's mostly funny to me, but I listen to it for pleasure sometimes as well. It's kind of, Zach and I have a liking for various pop punk bands, which is why we have a pop punk parody band that you should check out called Chasing Twins on iTunes. But love movie scores. I love video game scores. I've been listening a lot to the Spider-Man score from the game.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff like that. It varies. I mean, I enjoy old country, like outlaw country music sometimes is good. I like bluegrass to an extent, because obviously I run sound for every genre you can imagine. So I hear a lot of cool music. So I like a little bit of everything, but I mostly listen to metal is what I'll say.
Gotcha. I everyone says this, but I listen to pretty much everything besides country. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my only no-go.
Yeah, any like modern pop country is total garbage.
I'm not a huge fan of like popular songs that are charting on the pop charts. Like that's all that seems to be on there anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like things like Taylor Swift. I've always been a Taylor Swift fan in terms of like popular music. I like Post Malone. He's popular. I'm still a fan of like Eminem every now and then. My favorite band's Linkin Park. Yeah, I mean, like mostly I listen to like older rock music or just music that kind of I was brought up in the early 2000s or, you know, late 1990s. I guess that is the late 1900s. But yeah, that's me.
Nice.
I've been more of on like a hip hop kick recently.
Okay.
I've been listening more hip hop.
I've dabbled in hip hop in the past. Mm-hmm. So I like NF. I think NF's pretty good. He reminds me similar to like Ghost Inside lyrically. Mm-hmm. That's why I like him. It's funny. In eighth grade, when I came back from Florida, everyone was really into hip hop and rap. So I started listening to stuff like Nelly and Young Jeezy and whoever did that Laffy Taffy song.
Nelly's more R&B.
The Laffy Taffy. Oh, shake that Laffy Taffy. Whoever did that song.
I don't think those guys are even around.
Stuff like that. And I remember I was in the DMV. My mom was having her license updated or something. And I was sitting there listening to like a Young Jeezy song. And I remember asking myself almost out loud, why am I even listening to this? Yeah. And I stopped listening to it. And I've hardly listened to hip hop since then. Gotcha. I don't fault anyone for liking it. Just I think deep down the whole time I was trying to get into it, I never really liked it. But I listened to it anyway because everyone in my class liked it.
Yeah.
And after I'd moved back to Georgia and I didn't have those people around anymore, I was like, why am I even listening to this? And I stopped.
Gotcha.
So
good for you, man.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Mm-hmm. Josh Scriber says, hey, guys, hope you all had a at least a semi-productive week. What is your favorite video game weapon of mass destruction? Hands down, mine is the upgraded crossbow from the first Black Ops. One, all bolts were explosive. Two, the damage caused one hit kills for many rounds. And three, fucking explosions. Favorite weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, Allerhorn's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Destiny. Wish they'd put it in Destiny, too. I want to see it.
My effing nose. I'm so sorry if you... My nose is driving you crazy.
You just edit it out every time.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm going to make an effort not to do that next week. I'm very sorry. I'm having a major brain fart, man. I like the super shotgun from Doom.
It's that weapon from, yeah, Doom. It's not the shotgun, but
The BFG. Yeah. BFG is so satisfying. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that. Doom 2016's BFG is incredible.
There you go.
I'm very excited for the meat hook in Doom Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So, weapons like that. The Gauss cannon's very satisfying, too, in Doom. Oh, buddy, I like the... what's the crossbow from the bolt shot, maybe from Gears? Hmm. You fire an explosive bolt and it explodes on impact. That's pretty satisfying.
Hmm.
I've never really been a big fan of the Hammer of Dawn. I mean, it never excited me. Shooting a laser from the sky and killing stuff wasn't very cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go super shotgun and BFG from Doom. I love those weapons.
Gotcha.
But BFG is more of like a mass destruction type weapon, so I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to think maybe of a cop out answer.
Trying to think of another example besides what I said. I don't know.
The Sheepinator from Ratchet and Clank.
That's a good one.
That's a fun one. I think that's about it for me,
you've
man.
You've got to put me on the spot. I'm not always great at coming up with ideas.
Oh boy.
What is a game that I like that has a cool weapon that kills stuff dramatically?
You already said, you said Gjallarhorn from Destiny?
Mm-hmm.
What else is in Destiny that's cool like that?
I don't just want to keep doing Destiny weapons. You know, I could just name them all off.
We're waiting.
The hat from Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. What is it called? Cappy?
Yeah, Cappy.
Yeah. It could be pretty deadly. It's very useful.
I'm drawing up a blank here. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to go with BFG on my end. Thank you, Josh. That's an old question, too. I don't know if you remember sending us that one. Jared B. writes in and says, who's your favorite person named Chris? Chris Daughtry, obviously.
Chris Hemsworth is good.
Chris Hemsworth is awesome. So is Chris Pratt. But my favorite Chris is Chris Addison. He is the lead vocalist of Among the Valiant, local metal band that I formerly attempted to play drums in and Preston played guitar in.
Yeah.
Very good friend of mine, great man, great family, great folks. Love spending time with him. I don't see him as often as I used to, but he's an awesome dude. He's my favorite Chris.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to do Chris Hemsworth, man. He's a good-looking man.
He is. He's Australian. He's a great actor.
I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him, too.
Maybe kiss him on the lips.
I'd be down for that. Yeah, yeah. I'd go out with him if he'd go out with me.
Get his autograph, you know? Buy him a drink, see what happens, you know?
You never know where it could lead.
Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe I take his place, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you take his place?
I don't know. It's no telling what'll happen.
You're going to be Thor?
Maybe, yeah.
You're close to having the physique of Thor.
I don't think so.
You're close.
Not even close.
You're getting there.
I don't have the mass.
You have mass.
I have a little bit of mass, intentionally. But, yeah. Okay. I'm nowhere near his size.
Well, you're closer than I am, we'll say that.
I think you're right.
S. Jones writes in and says, what's up, Edgar Allan Bros?
Oh, clever.
Yeah, my question to you is, if you could have one mundane superpower, what would it be? Mine, for example, would be to fill up whatever I was holding in my hand with whatever the last thing inside of it was. Example, if I just finish a beer, I could then fill it back up with beer and get creative.
It's a good skill.
I'll start by saying the superpower I've always joked about that I'm actually pretty serious about is the ability to never sleep.
Hmm, that's a good one.
I would love that. I could do so many more things because sleep eats up so much of my time.
I think I could combat that by having the ability to being able to transport without putting any effort into anything. Like, kind of like making, like the ability to make a car drive itself, or just like the
why
ability
don't you just
to
teleport. I guess that isn't,
that's
like,
not a mundane.
That's
yeah.
not mundane.
I'm trying
it's
to make
pretty,
it like grounded
awesome.
Somehow. Yeah, just like some way that I could do things instead of like having to focus on driving.
I would like that too. I'd like a perfectly sustained car system where
yeah.
no one ever drives at all. It's all automated.
It's like you could like make up for the time you have to sleep for like doing work every time you have to travel. Yeah.
Oh, got to commute to school. I just got to kick back
just
and relax.
Type my essay. Or,
take
know.
A nap maybe.
Yeah.
So that'd be
just
awesome.
Just do all your sleeping while you travel.
But that wouldn't be super weird. That'd be like a societal thing that was established. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Mundane. I never want to sleep. I'm trying to think of something else that would be nice, a nice convenience. Like you said, like filling up a drink you finished.
The ability to never have to take a public shit.
That'd be great. Yeah. I've had to do that recently just once, and it was humiliating. But I had to do it. It was one of those very rare occasions I told you. The only time I go in public is when I have absolutely no choice. I have to go. Like, it's falling out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not good for me. I'll hold my poop for 24 hours if I have to. If I'm capable of holding it, I will hold it that long.
Ugh.
I know it's not good for me, but I occasionally
do that. You're a
nasty
boy.
But whenever I feel it falling out of me, I unleash it publicly, and it's very humiliating.
Mm.
So, mundane superpower, yeah, never having to take a public dump and never having to sleep.
Mm.
That'd be me. Or just never having to dump, period.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, I do like a nice relieving dump. I dumped when I got home. Probably going to dump after this podcast, and maybe a third time after I have Taco Bell in a bit.
Ugh. It's a lot of dumps.
Here's another mundane superpower. I wish I didn't have to go get the Taco Bell. I wish I could have it just appear in front of me.
Yeah. The ability to make things appear.
Snap my fingers like Thanos.
I don't know if that's mundane, but that'd be a good power.
Yeah. I think I've satisfied my mundane superpowers.
I think so, too.
Mr. Jones, that was a good one. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Big finale. Jacob Walters
writes
in and says, "Hello, Doomslayers, shit sprayers, and game players. First off, I just want to say that I hope you guys are doing another scary podcast for Halloween. On that theme, have you ever been scared playing a non-horror game? For example, a jump scare or something spooky? Keep it up with the great shit you come up with. Also, can't wait for Doom Eternal. Also, fuck you, Jacob.
Fuck you.
Play Doom.
No, fuck you.
No, fuck you, fuck you.
No, you.
I
was a little... I remember when I was at that part in Bioshock Infinite.
I was just thinking that
the guy was going to sneak up behind me.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was turning, I was like, fuck.
That's the first thing I thought of. I know I have been scared in the past and non-horror games, but nothing really comes to mind.
I don't know if I'm necessarily scared per se, but sometimes in like when I first experience like a new area in Destiny or like Destiny 2 or the Thrall, like those screams, mm-hmm. like where you can't see anything, like that's kind of like spooky.
Yeah, they're a little creepy.
Yeah.
This is a side note, but I hope by some miracle one day we can get a Dead Space remaster, the first one.
Yeah.
With Visceral gone, I know EA owns the IP, but I can't see anyone. I don't see why they'd have a reason to do that, but I would love to play a remaster of that.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween episode, I'm sure we'll have one. It'll mostly be Red Dead focused, I'm sure, because we'll be all waist deep in that at the time. But we'll think of something for Halloween, because we've exhausted our spooky stories we did on that one episode. I don't have any other scary stories to share.
Yeah, I don't have.
We'll think of something to do Halloween related for sure. So, Doom Eternal, I'm so stoked for, of course. I am very, very excited. That's my... Other than like Metro Exodus, for example, I think next year so far, that's my most anticipated release by far.
How dare you?
Is Doom Eternal.
How dare you?
And Kingdom Hearts 2, of course. I'm there with you.
Kingdom Hearts what?
Sorry?
You said Kingdom Hearts what?
As well.
Oh, I thought you said 2.
No.
Idiot. It's 3.
Obviously. Yeah. Most anticipated, probably Doom. Second by... I'll throw Kingdom Hearts in there second, and then third, Metro Exodus.
Mm.
Days gone, dude. Hope it's good.
More like Days.
Anthem, couldn't care. Oh, I'm an idiot, dude. Resident Evil. I'm changing my order. Doom, Resident Evil, Kingdom Hearts.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Metro.
We're done.
Then maybe Days Gone, then Anthem. That's my order so far. And Last of Us is probably in there. So we'll wait until we know for an absolute fact that's coming next year. Pretty sure it is, but we'll wait. And even if it was, it's not my most anticipated. I know it's going to be great, but...
What about Devil May Cry?
Doom still resides above that, so does Resident Evil, and then maybe Last of Us.
Okay.
Am I insane? Maybe. But nothing's blown my mind yet from that game. But yeah, I think I've made my peace with this question. What about you?
What are we answering again?
Thought
we were talking about scary game experiences.
That and scary experiences in non-horror games.
Yeah. What were you listing off? Your most anticipated games of 2019?
Somehow I got on that topic.
Because
he talked about Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of any more. I don't typically play experiences where I think I'm going to be scared because I'm a big baby. So.
I love spooky games.
I
played Transference, that VR experience recently. It mm-hmm. spooked me a bit.
I've never been spooked in like zombies or anything. I'm trying to like think of games that I play that I've at all was scared in.
Hunt Showdown's definitely a horror survival game in many ways, but yeah, that spooked me pretty bad. But it's not a non-horror game, but that's what recently has spooked me in the past.
I mean, sometimes it's spooky when you're playing like a VR game where you're like, you know, people are like all around
they
you.
They can be pretty nerve-wracking. It's definitely pulse-pounding.
Yeah, you're just like camping in a corner.
Dude, I'm
like,
dying to play Blackout with you, man. I'm so excited for that.
Hopefully we have time tonight.
You have dinner plans?
Yeah.
You know where I'm driving at with this question?
Yes. You said you're going to Taco Bell. I had Taco Bell yesterday?
Dang it, dude.
Yeah, I had it yesterday for lunch. Saturday, when we usually do the podcast.
That's such a shame.
Yeah. And it was okay.
Okay.
If it makes you feel any better, the Taco Bell was average.
I'm so lazy to drive there, though. I might eat here.
Yeah, you should.
We'll see, dude.
I think you should go get it. Taco Bell's good.
I want it. It's just so far.
Yeah, listen to a podcast. It'll be fine.
I've already listened to podcasts.
Listen to... Make your sister go get it. Tell her you'll pay her.
We'll see. I'll try. But Jacob, that does it for episode 173 of the It's Obvious podcast.
That was a doozy.
It was nothing short of a pleasure, as always. Mm-hmm. It was good to be back. I'm sad Preston. I meant to say at the beginning, Preston couldn't be with us because he's headed out of town to Dallas for work this week.
No, I thought he was here.
Nope. Well, he was, but he had to go to the airport around 4 o'clock.
No, I thought he was right here with us, man. You didn't say he wasn't here, yeah, so I thought he was here.
He's just been very silent the entire time.
My mistake.
But anyone who's wondering where Preston is, why he was not on Ask IOG or this, is because he was busy, I think, earlier on Thursday, and obviously he has to go out of town today.
Yeah,
so
he has a lot of projects at the end of the year.
That sucks, man. But hopefully he'll be back soon. I'd love to have him. Mm-hmm. As Sam Harris, by the way, we did not answer your narrative-driven question this week because we want to read all of our parts as ourselves going forward with that story.
Oh, but he sent one.
Yeah, we have it. That's cool. Have it in my possession. It's saved. We will read it as soon as Preston can join us.
Awesome. But I look forward to that.
Absolutely. Again, Ask IOG Episode 7 is available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and right here on YouTube if you haven't checked it out yet. It's an additional podcast to tune into in addition to this. Nothing else really going on this week, I don't think. We'll be playing some games, probably notably Blackout.
A lot of Blackout.
My schedule's about to pick up big time in many ways starting this week. So we may or may not have some Blackout goofy videos coming in the near future. If we have time to squeeze them in, we will. But regardless, if we have time to play, I know Jacob will be on a fair amount, and I hope to join him. So if you guys are on Blackout on PC...
Send us a message and maybe we'll invite you.
Yeah, let's rumble. That'd be good. So that's it for me, though. I don't have much to add. My nose is very stuffed. I'm hungry. I got a poo-poo. And it's been an absolute blast, man.
Yeah, had fun talking to you today. I'm going to go home, eat some dinner with my folks, settle down for a bit, and then play some Blackout.
Cool, man. Hopefully I'll see you on there.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Everyone have a wonderful week.
Yes.
If you're listening on Monday the 15th, I hope you have a wonderful day at work.
It's the worst day of the week, but
let's all recall that Red Dead is right around the corner.
Oh, it's so close, Garrett.
So, great time to be a gamer.
Oh, yeah.
What a time to be alive.
As Preston would say.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll catch you again soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
I like that.
Thanks. Bye.